Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 241. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me is a special guest today, David Hasselhoff. Oh, wait. No, that's just my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Not too much. Don't have the body or the tan of David Hasselhoff, but we are back and ready to go for the offseason, man. The countdown's on to the AFL now, which is exciting. It'll be here before we know it. We'll be out in Arizona in a bunch of games and hanging out with everybody in the industry, and that's exciting. I can't wait for that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I was wondering if you were going to, like, come on here, it's all like tanned up, but I was like, no, but you're from the south, so you guys obviously get a lot more sun than we do,
right?
So, you know, sometimes like us northerners or New Englanders go down to, like, you know, Mexico or wherever, we'll get, there's a more of a difference because we're not as tan as you guys are. So I guess there's not as big of a difference when you guys from South Carolina go down to Mexico. But you have a good trip there though?
Yeah, it was good. I'm exhausted. I don't know why. It's just the worst part of every vacation is coming back more tired than you were and taking multiple days to recover. I don't know if that's just part of getting old or what that is, but it is certainly rough. And so still trying to catch up on sleep and just energy in general. But yeah, it was certainly a fun trip for sure.
Well, that's good. And it's good to get back to it here. We got back to two episodes this week and probably in the next few weeks, but then we will probably drop it down to one as we get into the off season, but still have plenty of consistent content coming out, both on Toolshed here, both of our personal platforms. Check those out. DynastyDugout.com, ToolshedFantasy.com, all of our rankings, off-season content. A lot of fun stuff coming out on both of those platforms. And obviously, you can find us on Twitter, at EricCross04, at RotoClegg, and at ToolshedPod. So with the minor league season wrapping up, you know, obviously various levels, you know, ended, you know, last week, week before, this past week. So we figured we'd do like a fantasy-focused minor league team-by-team, like player of the year, so to speak. We'll do National League today, start with the senior circuit, and then do the American League later on this week. And we each picked a player, every National League team. We don't know who the other person picked. So I'm sure we're going to overlap on some of these. We'll kind of go back and forth. I'll start with Arizona. Chris will go Atlanta, so on and so forth. And we'll provide insight on why we kind of pick the player, what we their long-term outlook is, so on and so forth. Let's get right into it, Chris. So I'll start with Arizona so he can have his Atlanta Braves next up. I mean, I was trying to, you know, get cute with it, but there really isn't getting cute with this. I don't think that with this team. So I just got to go Jordan Lawler here. I know it's the boring pick because he's a top five caliber prospect, but he's top five for a reason. Went 16-39 last year, 20-36 this year, just 105 games. You know, got the call up to Arizona a couple of weeks ago. Hasn't really done a whole lot. 9 games, hitting .130, no extra base hits yet. Does have a steal, but don't let that deter you. Like, this is a very fantasy-friendly profile. Obviously, you don't need to tell anybody that. Potential for 20-plus home runs, 25-plus home runs even, 30-plus steals. Solid average, good OBP, obviously always been a high walk rate guy, and even improved the strikeout rate this past year, which is good to see. So got to go Jordan Lawler here. Who was yours, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, Lawler was the fairly obvious pick, so he was the easy one to go with. But my off-the-wall one was Ricardo Yan.
Nice.
Pronouncing his last name right. Pitcher, 6'4". He spent time in single A and even high A to end the year, and he was absolutely phenomenal. Finished the year, actually, I mean, you look down the stretch, he had a 3.65 ERA on the year, but like he progressively got better and better as the year went on, and the strikeout numbers were incredibly impressive. He topped the CSW leaderboards, the swinging strike leaderboards, just everything you want to see, a 20-year-old. And so I look, and I think Ricardo Yan is – arguably the best pitching prospect in the system, even better than Yumin Lin, who had a really good year as well. But you look at how Yan ended the year, and from July 1st on, he had a 2.42 ERA over 48 innings. He had 72 strikeouts over those 48 innings, which is pretty impressive stuff. He's got a nasty slider, a really good fastball changeup combo as well. So, you know, Yan was kind of an off-the-wall one, where Jordan Lawler was kind of the really obvious one there. So,
yep. Very deserving as well.
Yep. So that would have been my pitcher if we, you know, went hitter pitcher, but I will take a pitcher here in Atlanta, and that's AJ Smith-Shawver, who is still prospect eligible. And for reference, like, we are still going with players that are prospect eligible still. When you look at Shawver, I think that it's almost people kind of forgot about him after he came up, and he struggled a little bit, but he still had a, you know, pretty solid 21 innings in the majors. And I think we're going to see him up and pitching again. I think you're going to see him in the postseason in some pretty meaningful innings. But Smith-Shawver had an incredible meteoric rise from all the way in high A to the majors this year as a 20-year-old. He had an incredible year, in which, in the minors at least, he had 2.76 ERA over 15 starts, struck out plenty of batters. He had a total of 79 strikeouts over those 62 innings, walking 33. And while he did have a 4.57 ERA over, you know, 21 and two-thirds major league innings, I'm not that concerned, considering he is a 20-year-old. He was literally pitching in high A to begin the year, and then he went all the way to the majors by June, which was nuts, but that's kind of the Braves' mantra. And I think we'll see a similar path to Hurston Waltrip we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Side note, but the bats in the system are fine. That I'm really stood out enough for me to take anybody over AJ Smith-Shawver, who is my pick for the Braves prospect of the year.
Yeah. No, that was my pick as well. A lot of their hitters, like I said, they were fine. Nobody really stood out on the offensive side of things. And, you know, Waldrop obviously has looked phenomenal, but, you know, he's only thrown 29 in the third inning. So kind of had to go with AJ Smith-Shawver there. And yeah, I'm not worried really at all either. You know, again, like you mentioned, this guy's only 20, was pushed a bit, you know, pretty quickly by the Braves. So I'm not surprised to see him having some struggles at the major league level, and he still flashed really good stuff. So yeah, if you can buy low on AJ Smith-Shawver, I definitely would. So we match up on that one. Going over to the Chicago Cubs, this was probably my toughest one personally. I mean, I narrowed it down to two and had a really hard time picking between the two. And that's not even to mention, you know, there's so many guys that would be like, you know, quote unquote honorable mentions here. Guys like Owen Casey, you know, Kevin Alcantara, you know, give Matt Shaw another couple of months. He's probably in this discussion as well because he was absolutely phenomenal after the draft. Moises Ballesteros, you know, guys like that. And, you know, even Jordan Wicks, Jackson Ferris had pretty solid years on the pitching side of things. But I narrowed it down to, you know, the two big guns here. You got Cade Horton and you got Pete Crow Armstrong. But ultimately, since it's fantasy focused, I do have to lean with Pete Crow Armstrong, though heavy consideration to Cade Horton. But if you look at the power and speed that PCA brings to the table, and yeah, he hasn't set the world on fire with the Cubs like some other guys, like, you know, Evan Carter has, or Jason Dominguez did before he unfortunately got hurt. You know, I'm still very much a believer in the long-term skill set here. You know, potential 25-25 caliber player. And if he can just keep the contact skills high enough to hit, you know, 260 or so, I think this is going to wind up being a top 100 overall player, maybe even a guy that's maybe a top 50 overall player for fantasy. He keeps the K rate in check, keeps the contact skills, you know, high enough. And I think he's going to be just a well-rounded player for fantasy. You know, went 20 home runs, 38 steals this year in 514 plate appearances, 26 doubles as well, 48 walks, 135 Ks. So really hard to go over Cade Horton here, who had a phenomenal year, top three pitching prospect. I know, Chris, you have him as your number two, or maybe even number one at this point. I don't know. How high do you have Horton? Is he number one for you now?
He's number two.
Okay. Yeah. Wasn't sure. I knew he was two at least. Wasn't sure if he had made that leapfrog up to one, though he's definitely in that tier for sure. But I'll go with PCA for the Cubs fantasy prospect of the year.
Yeah, I think PCA was the clear one, but I actually took Owen Casey for mine. I think Casey's season was pretty impressive as well, like from a pure like power standpoint, even provided some speed as well. The contact numbers ticked up significantly post Tacky Ball leaving the Southern League. And even still, like, you saw the decline in his K rate all year. And yeah, you can look and say, oh, he struck out 31% of the time this year. But look at it, you know, first half for second half, even the first month, like the first month and a half, he was like 50%. So some incredible improvement there. The power is going to play. I do think it's just a legit 30 home run bat. And so I took Owen Casey, but I do think there's a fair argument for PCA, for Cade Horton as well. Like, there's some really good options in this system too. Cincinnati is tough because they had an incredible like run of prospects, and a lot of them debuted, which made this a little harder. I mean, just think of the countless guys that came up and performed. You know, Ellie De La Cruz not lived up to hype, but you know, the historic season in the minors. So I went kind of off the wall for the Reds, and I took 25-year-old outfielder Blake Dunn, who had an incredible season in which he hit 23 home runs and he stole 54 bases. So from like a pure like fantasy standpoint, like, Blake Dunn was absolutely awesome. And I think he should be on more radars than he is. Like, yeah, I've seen him kind of picking up some steam more recently. I think he's a top 200 prospect. I think it's a fair kind of spot to put him. I'm not going insanely high. I'm not sure he's a 20 plus home run bat in the majors. Speed is legit, but still, if he's a 15 home run bat that can steal you some bags, then there's an extremely, you know, valuable hitter here who also had good contact skills, ran a contact rate around 77% all year, which is really good. He slashed 312, 425, 522. So Blake Dunn was my pick in a system that, you know, had a lot of good options there in the Cincinnati Reds.
That's not off the wall at all, because I went with Blake Dunn as well for my pick here. And yet the Cincinnati org was pretty tricky as well. You know, I had it narrowed down to Blake Dunn, to Hector Rodriguez, and to Chase Petty. You know, Connor Phillips had a good year as well. You know, even some guys in the lower levels that just didn't accrue enough plate appearances, guys like Ricardo Cabrera, you know, Alfredo Duno, both those guys had pretty good years as well. But yeah, Blake Dunn has just had an absolutely phenomenal year. It was him and Jonathan Clase, well, both went 20-50 this year. I think Clase went 20-70 or something like that, which is just insane. But yeah, I also don't think that Dunn's going to be this massive power hitter, but you know, I think he's got enough power to maybe run into 20 in a place like Great American Ballpark. Contact skills were, you know, okay, you know, 74, 75, 76% range, pretty, you know, solid enough, and he's got good speed as well. So I think he's a guy that I even have him pushing top 100 overall for me, but he's a guy that just because he's 25, he still gets kind of not slept on per se, but it's undervalued because he's old, you know, and these guys always get undervalued. So I, you know, I'm preaching this look at the skill set, and there's a pretty, you're not gonna be a stud, but you know, a decent, you know, fantasy friendly skill set here with a great ballpark coming up. Where does he fit in? Who knows? This long-term picture, there's not everybody in this organization is going to fit in. Some will get traded or just fizzle out, but yeah, he's definitely well deserving of being the Reds minor league player of the year for fantasy purposes. So I will go over to Colorado now. And this was, I mean, at first I thought it was kind of tough, but it really wasn't after I kind of remembered this guy. I got to go Hunter Goodman here. Almost went with Adel Amador, but he missed some time. Jordan Beck, you know, very deserving. Yankiel Fernandez, but he kind of fell off. Don't even look at any of the pitchers. Not even worth it. You know, Goodman, 35 home runs, 34 doubles, 252, 328, 557 slash line. You know, it's always going to be questions of if the contact skills will be there, you know, if the K rate will be kept in check, but the power is legit. You know, this is a, I kind of think he's could have like a CJ Krohn type of profile to him. Maybe you got 250, 260 hitter. You know, obviously you get the BABIP boost from being in Coors Field. And 30 plus home runs, you know, over a full year is definitely within reach for Hunter Goodman. Obviously, probably be more of a first baseman long term than a catcher. But you know, I think this is a guy that maybe won't be a guy that you ever look to be your starting first baseman, but maybe he can just turn into a good power bat that you put at corner infield or something like that. So, you know, looked at Beck, Fernandez, Amador. I think if Amador played more than about half a season, he'd probably be the guy. But got to go Hunter Goodman here for Colorado.
Yeah, Goodman was the top of the list. I ultimately went with Jordan Beck, who hit 25 home runs, stole 20 bases, and put up a decent slash line. You know, OBP of 364 and over 500 slug. I thought Beck had a really good year, as did Hunter Goodman as well. Adiel Amador, I think, would have been the easy pick had he played a full season, but he didn't. And so that's why I had a toss-up between Beck and Goodman and took Beck. Dodgers system is interesting. There's a lot of arms that you could take.
Yep.
And I debated a lot of those arms, to be honest. Probably would have taken Emmett Sheehan, but he just exhausted prospect eligibility, and we said we weren't going to include those guys. So I didn't include him. I end up going with Michael Busch, who was the best hitter in the system, in my opinion. That had a lot of good hitters at the end of the day. Like, you know, you could have gone like Yoenndry Vargas if he had played a full season. Like, he had an awesome year and one that I think could break out next year. But Michael Busch, you know, being kept in AAA for most of the year, absolutely mashed. Hit 27 homers, slash 323, 431, 618, just absurd. That's a 1,049 OPS. Really good year. Hit the ball incredibly hard. He actually had extremely good contact rates as well. I think some people question like what kind of contact he has. But Michael Bush put up some absurd contact rates this year, which really impressed me. And we've always known that he's had the power. His major league samples have been just okay, but kind of hoping that with consistent playing time that Bush can take off. But for me, it was hard to go a pitcher when Michael Bush had the year that he did for the Dodgers. Who did you end up taking?
I ultimately went with Bush as well, though I gave serious consideration to Eduardo Quintero. He didn't play enough. Again, another guy that he played more than, you know, obviously it's not his fault. He was playing in the DSL, shortened season. So, you know, all these guys usually get 200 or so play appearances, and he was phenomenal. 359, 472, 618 slash line, 27 extra base hits, 22 steals, almost as many walks as strikeouts. So serious consideration went to Eduardo Quintero. But yeah, it's got to be Michael Bush. But the fact that Michael Bush is still eligible for something like this is just, you know, maddening to me. Like, he shouldn't be prospect eligible still, but it's the Dodgers. And obviously, if he was with Kansas City, Pittsburgh, you know, insert small market team here, or really most other teams besides the Dodgers, he'd be already be playing. So that's what I was like when you heard of, like, the Dodgers and Red Sox kind of maybe talking at the trade deadline. I'm like, just give us Michael Bush. I'll take him, plop him at second. Obviously, that did not happen. But, you know, Bush has made strides as a pure hitter. Obviously, the power is there as well. You know, walk rate's always been high. You know, K rate came down this year. You know, 299, 404, 567. You know, very good year for Michael Bush. This is a very, you know, obviously a bat-first profile from second base. I'll see if that's where he ends up long term, maybe some first base, who knows. But yeah, I had to go with Michael Bush here as well for me. Going over to the Marlins, I went with Troy Johnston as my player of the year for them. You know, some other guys that were definitely in consideration, but you know, Johnston had quietly a really good year. And again, he's another one of these older guys. He's turned 26 back in late June, June 22nd. So, but you can't deny like what this guy has done. Like, yeah, he was pretty good in 2021, hit 300, had 15 home runs and 27 doubles, 120 games that year. You know, last year, 261, 14 home runs and 114 games. Had some couple solid years leading up to this, but huge breakout performance this year. 307, 399, 549 slash line in 600 plate appearances between AA and AAA. 36 doubles, 26 home runs, 24 steals, only caught twice, and a good strikeout to walk ratio as well. This is another guy that I don't think he's going to be a stud by any means, but solid contact skills, about 75% or so. You know, the power doesn't wow you. Like, 90th percentile EV is 100.7. You know, average EV was right at around 90. So probably more of like a 20 home run guy. I don't think he's going to be like 25 to 30, but he could be like 20-10 with a decent average and OBP. And I think there's definitely some spots for him to play. It's not like that Miami outfield is, you know, star-studded by any means. So I think he could fit into their picture as soon as early next year and be a pretty solid fantasy contributor. So Troy Johnston is my Miami guy. Who'd you go with?
Yeah, I took Johnston as well. I thought that, you know, the system is interesting. And I thought that he had the best year, honestly. You just kind of look at the all-around profile, and you know, he kind of took a step forward in AAA, and he was one of those hitters that was in the Southern League that had the tacky ball. And so you wonder, like, how much did that affect his performance in the first half? Because you can kind of look, we can look at the numbers, and in the first half, Johnston, well, Fangraphs will load. Yeah, there you go. He hit 277. The 389 OBP and a 558 slug. 18 of those home runs came in the first half. I do think the tacky ball enabled like higher exit velocities, which may sound crazy, but it's kind of like supported that to an extent. But Johnston hit 340 in the second half, and that's including some time in AA before jumping to AAA as well. And so he continued to perform. He looked really good overall. As you mentioned, I thought the numbers looked good too, to the point where, you know, it's somebody that I'm fairly interested in a deeper league who I think has minimal value. So Troy Johnston was ultimately my pick as well. Milwaukee, that was a no-brainer. You know, there was a lot of fun people in the Brewers system. We had a lot of fun breakouts, but ultimately it's hard to go against anybody other than, you know, Jackson Churia. I think that you look at the overall profile and you have to be impressed with what he's done this year, especially considering the early season struggles. And a lot of that was attributed to him, you know, in the Southern League. The performance was fairly bad against changeups, and changeups were moving a lot more with that tacky ball. You look, and I don't know. I just think that the Jackson Churio that we know is the Jackson Churio we saw in the second half. He hit 324 with a 379 OBP and a 538 slug in the second half. The strikeout rate dropped tremendously. The contact rate went way up. He had 11 home runs in 57 second half games. And that was also with 26 extra base hits. So really solid performance overall out of Churio. He's got power. He's got speed. And I think the contact skills are a bit slept on. So Jackson Churio was kind of the no-brainer there for me in Milwaukee, assuming he was for you as well.
Yeah, no, you can't go with anybody besides Churio. I mean, I'll just get through, you know, throw some credit over to, you know, Tyler Black had a really good year, 1855 from him. You know, Jefferson Cairo, and I'm not super sexy fantasy year, but he rose up rankings as well. But, you know, on the pitching side, Gasser had a solid year. So did, you know, Carlos Rodriguez, or Carlos F. Rodriguez, got to include the F in there. But yeah, it's Jackson Churio. And the fact that he did, you know, a lot of the damage second half, like you mentioned, like, you know, and the big thing for him too, obviously he's been, you know, a bit aggressive, you know, younger player. He's still only 19, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, K rate was 17.8% this year. Very encouraging to see. Walk rate still only about 7.5%. But seeing him kind of trim that K rate this year was definitely encouraging, while still hitting for power, stealing a ton of bags as well. Yes, you got to go with Jackson Churio here for Milwaukee. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We will be right back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, welcome back. Hammering through the National League Fantasy Prospects of the Year. About halfway through now, going over to the New York Mets. This one was also pretty tough for me, and I'm not going with any of the guys that they acquire. You know, so no Gilbert, no Acuna, no Clifford. And so it kind of came down to three for me: Christian Scott, Jet Williams, and Ronnie Mauricio. But I'm gonna go with Jet Williams here. Really, him and Mauricio were really tough. You know, honorable mention to Scott there, had a really phenomenal year. I saw him live. You know, he looked very, very good. So I'm all, you know, very much buying Christian Scott. Now they're kind of a little bit older prospect, 24 in Double A, but definitely has the stuff to be a really good mid rotation starter. But Jet Williams is my guy. I bumped him way up my prospect rankings. You know, 13 home runs, 45 steals this year. / 263, 425, 451. At 104 walks as an 18-year-old, which isn't done very often, which is very exciting to see. You know, contact skills, pretty damn good, around, you know, 78, 79%. And power started to tick up a bit this year. Again, I don't think Jet Williams is going to be a big power bat. I'm kind of feeling, you know, probably 15-ish home runs. You know, average EVs, you know, 90th percentile max. None of them really scream big power bat, but he's still kind of filling out his frame. So I think he could be like 15 to 18 homers a year to go along with a, you know, decent average, high OBP, to have a bit more value in OBP formats. And a guy that can, you know, flirt with 30 steals annually as well from a middle infield spot. We'll see where how that middle infield shakes out there in Queens long term. But really tough between him and Mauricio, but I ultimately go with Jet Williams for mine.
Yeah, I took Ronnie Mauricio. It was close. It yeah. certainly was. But Mauricio's 23 home runs and 24 stolen bases just kind of put it over the edge for me. We know Mauricio has legit power. I mean, he's put up some pretty gaudy EVs. And yeah, while he chases a lot, the contact rates are respectable enough. Like, he makes enough end zone contact to kind of balance out yeah. the high chase rates. And we saw that. He put up a 292 average in AAA with a 346 OBP, which, you know, obviously he's not walking a ton. He's never going to walk a ton, but he puts enough balls in play to be a really solid fantasy stud. So I took Ronnie Mauricio, but it certainly was pretty close there.
Did you see that home run he hit the other night, though, which kind of sums up who he is? Like, the one that was like about shin height, but he hit it like 112 out. Like, it just sums up Mauricio in one swing. Like, he's aggressive, but he can really put a charge into the ball.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty crazy. I forgot the height. It was like I saw the height of the pitch of like how low it was. I don't remember exactly, but
yeah, it was like a foot and 4 inches or something like that. It was like
absurd.
Between like, you know, halfway down your shins, he just absolutely cranked it out. I think it was like 112 EV or something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was up there. Now, this system was a lot harder. The Philly system.
Sure. Was.
I wanted to pick Mick Abel, but I didn't think the performance was quite there. And while I'm not the biggest fan of this guy, I did take Justin Crawford and I don't love it. Like, this is probably my least favorite pick on the board that I had to make, but I do think that he had a pretty respectable year. And while he hits the ball on the ground entirely too much, it's something that we could see change. He did only hit 3 home runs, but we're talking 8 triples, 22 doubles on the year, and he hit 332. So pretty impressive, OBP near 400. Overall, Justin Crawford can hit the ball hard, but too often it is into the ground, as I kind of alluded to. But the speed's legit here. I'm not projecting to be more than like a 10 home run bat at peak, but I do think the stolen bases could provide a lot of fantasy value. And we saw that this year. This was just in 87 games that he stole 47 bases. So Those steals are very valuable, and I think that Crawford, while I'm not the biggest fan, was deserving, even though I'm not sure who I would say was deserving, because I almost went with a reliever in this system, because that's where we're at with the Phillies, and so I did take Justin Crawford.
Way to spoil my pick, Mr. Clegg. That's what I'm going with. I think, though, go with Crawford real quick. I think he's going to be like a poor man's version of his father. I think, you know, I don't think he has as much power as his father, but could be a solid source of average and speed like his father was. So, you know, I looked at him. I looked at De La Cruz a little bit as well. He had a pretty solid year, 24 home runs, 259, 344, 454. But, yeah, there wasn't any – the system is not great. Like, Mick Abel, overall, it's just super inconsistent. Obviously, the stuff is there. You know, Griffin McGarry fell off hard in the second half of the year, as it did many of their pitchers. But I'm going with Orion Kerkering, who just made his major league debut the other day. You know, clean 1-2-3 inning with 2 strikeouts. It's a guy, sinker slider combination. Sinker can hit 100. It averaged 99.5, though he only threw 2 of them in that debut. And then upper 80 slider, you know, just a devastating 2-pitch mix there. And this is a guy that just dominated in the minor leagues this year, 53 2/3 innings. 151 ERA, 0.89 WHIP, 5.8% walk rate, and a 38% strikeout rate. And you know, it's been a bit since the Phillies have had like that lockdown guy that they can really trust and go to year after year. And I know those guys are kind of few and far between in baseball these days, but I think there's real potential for a Kerkering to, you know, settle into a high leverage role right away, and next year be a guy that could factor into the saves mix for this team. And definitely, if you've went in any format that has any type of holds included, be huge, huge kind of, you know, value guy there. He has the stuff absolutely to be a lights out back end, you know, high leverage arm. And like Chris kind of alluded to, in the system that didn't really have a lot of offensive standouts and the pitching was kind of meh for the most part, I decided to go with Orion Kerkering, which is a reliever. It's kind of weird to go with a reliever, but again, these guys have more value in fantasy these days than they used to, and I think he could be a really good one. So I'll go with Kirkering for mine. And that brings us over to Pittsburgh here, Chris. This was actually, you know, this is actually kind of like a sneaky good system. There's a lot of guys that, and this system always has guys that are undervalued, even at the major league level. You know, top to bottom, the system always gets slept on a little bit, and it is down a little bit right now. You know, I debated going with, you know, a couple of pitchers like Jared Jones, Anthony Solometso, both kind of were in consideration here. You know, also Tomar Johnson had a pretty good year as well. Another teenage guy that went over 100 walks this year. Again, that's not done very often, but I'm going to go with Jack Brannigan, who I always will think of him like that sounds like a news reporter name. You know, Jack Brannigan here with your 6 p.m. news, but he had a pretty damn good year in the minor leagues. 275, 390, 524 slash line, 19 home runs, 374 plate appearances, also had 24 steals, walked 14.2% of the time. But you know, the red flag here, you know, also struck out 30% of the time, or 29.9% if you want to get exact. So he's going to need to figure out a way to kind of trim that strikeout rate as he kind of keeps moving up. 22 years old, but you know, decent power speed. Well, not going to be, you know, a massive contributor in either one of those. And he's never going to be a guy that stands out really anywhere. But I think just have one of those profiles that is just solid across the board. Won't hurt you in any one area as long as he can keep that K rate in check. Again, that's the kind of the thing I'm going to be kind of looking at here moving forward. But I got to go with Jack Brannigan for mine here with Pittsburgh. Who you got?
I took Brannigan as well. Nice. I thought that he had a phenomenal year. He was very impressive. When I saw him this year, Tomar Johnson was tempting. Some of their arms were kind of tempting. But, I mean, Brannigan was just pretty impressive. And, yeah, I couldn't ignore what he did, especially when I got to see him, when I saw Greensboro a couple times this year. And so we'll see him in the AFL. Which will be fun, and I think that he's pretty underrated. So I went with Jack Brannigan again. So San Diego, this one is pretty interesting, but I took Graham Pauly, which probably doesn't surprise most people. I've really been a big Pauly fan for a while. Stirred some controversy on Twitter about him, but that's Pauly's been my dude for a while, and yeah, it's funny. Just he wasn't even that good when I put out there that you should acquire him if you won't chase my everybody want to chase my draw at the time. But you know, Pauly at that point was not really performing. Just the contact numbers were good with good barrel rates. I was like, okay, like this can happen. Like this guy hits the ball at ideal angles consistently. Just turned 23 like yesterday. So happy birthday, Graham Pauly. Spent the year as a 22-year-old in double A and high A and single A. So he spent time all over the place. He consistently got better as he moved up, which is a huge testament to what kind of hitter Graham Pauly really is. I think most people kind of didn't expect this out of a kid out of Duke that went 13th round in 2022, but he has far exceeded expectations. The barrel rate's absurd. One of the better barrel rates in the minors. Just ideal angles consistently. Like he's hitting the sweet spot so often. We saw him hit 23 home runs and steal 22 bases. So a power speed threat with very high contact rates, like some, I mean, 80% and higher consistently, which is phenomenal contact rates with Pauly. He'll be out in the AFL as well. Actually got an interview set up with him, which will be really fun. So Pauly is my guy here with San Diego.
So this is the one org that I literally could not choose between two guys. And yes, Graham Pauly is one of them. So just to talk about someone else, I'll go with my other guy, and that was Robbie Snelling. It was really tough between these two, and I'm pretty high on both these guys. But I'll go Pauly, Snelling, just to go a little bit different here. Snelling had a phenomenal year, 103 and two-thirds innings, 182 ERA, 112 whip, 118 strikeouts, just 34 walks. Still only 19 years old, you know, very, very, very advanced for his age, very polished in the way he goes about his business, the way he commands his pitches, plus fastball, breaking ball combination, changeups, made some strides as well this year. So have, you know, a good amount of confidence that could be at least a, you know, serviceable average third offering for him to go along with the 2+ pitches, you know, above average or better command and control over his entire arsenal. So very, very exciting. I don't think he's an ace. I think he could be a very good number two starter long term. Again, just so polished for his age, and the stuff is really good as well. So yeah, it was him and Graham Pauly, really hard to pick between the two. And you know, obviously there's Jackson Merrill, there's Samuel Zavala, and Nathan Martorella as well, though he kind of fell off the second half of the year. So a lot of intriguing guys in this system for sure. San Diego always has that really exciting system, and they continue to do so this year. So I will go Robbie Snelling for mine, though basically a tie. This next one, I didn't want to pick anybody from this org. This is one of my least favorite. I don't think it's a bottom five org per se, though it's probably bottom 10, but this is just, I think for me personally, there's always those orgs where you're just like, I just don't like this org whatsoever. And for me, that's the San Francisco Giants, who I have to go first on here. I ended up settling on Carson Wisenhunt, who obviously was hurt right now. You know, you could have gone with Kyle Harrison. He had a very up and down year. You know, Bryce Eldridge looks really good. I haven't sure with him, but he, you know, obviously didn't play too much. You know, Rainer Arias didn't play too much. McCray, Meckler, Ortega. There's a lot of guys that were all kind of in the same area, but I will go with Carson Wisenhunt at a 2.45 ERA, 1.02 WHIP. Only had 58 2/3 innings though as a 22-year-old. Another guy, you know, obviously a really good changeup, you know, solid fastball, slider as well. Pretty good command and control overall. You know, saw him last year. He was out in the AFL last year and really broke out this year. And I think he's, you know, given the fact that he is, you know, did miss a lot of time, I think that the hype train kind of came to a screeching halt on him. So I do think there's a decent buying opportunity this offseason. So I guess I'll go with Wisenhunt. This is my least enthusiastic pick of any team in the National League. I almost just went with Bryce Eldridge anyway, even though he only had 130 plate appearances overall, but you know, 294, 400, 505 in those plate appearances, but he just didn't play enough. So I guess I'll go with Wisenhunt. Who you got, Chris?
Yeah, I probably would have taken Wisenhunt too if he had thrown more innings, but overall, yeah. I would say, like, you know, pound for pound, he was the best performer. I went with the bat. I went with Victor Barricado.
Oh, yeah.
He mashed 27 home runs this year, 22 doubles and 3 triples. So pretty impressive stint there. I mean, he's slashed .272. Didn't walk a ton, but .329, .511. So pretty solid season for Barricado, who spent time in high A and double A, 21-year-old. I like the bat. The system kind of, you know, it was tough. Like you said, Eldridge was obviously incredible. If he had played the whole year, probably would have been the easy pick. But
yeah,
I took Barricado. Just I didn't love, honestly, the performance of enough of the guys enough. And Wisenhunt was good when he pitched, but just didn't pitch enough for me to ultimately pick him. Going to St. Louis, you know, it would have been easy to say, like, Thomas Tejesi, who was traded there, who had a great year. A lot of it was in Texas's org. So I went with Victor Scott II, who had a tremendous year, who I think is going to be an everyday outfielder and provide some sneaky fantasy value. He stole 95 bases this year between high A and double A, which is just absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, almost eclipsed 100, which is pretty wild. The contact rate's improved in double A. You saw him hit .323 in double A, which Springfield is a hitter's paradise. So, you know, I want to be a bit careful there. I say Springfield triple A. I don't know why now I'm questioning myself.
Springfield is double A.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. I was just like questioning myself. Like
Memphis is their triple A.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, Springfield is a hitting environment. And so you have to take that into account when you look at his 7 home runs that he did hit there. He hit just 2 in high A, but still, I think that Scott has serviceable power. He's just 22 years old. He is a smaller frame, but he's got a little bit of juice in the bat. And I could see Scott being an everyday outfielder, make some good plays in the outfield. The stolen bases obviously impact the game in a major way. This kind of reminds me of Estuary Ruiz a bit with a better field hit. And so that's kind of crazy because everybody went berserk about Ruiz. So Victor Scott, was ultimately my pick because I think the fantasy impact is just nuts here.
Yeah, no, I went with Victor Scott as well. And again, I thought about Sajazy, but the fact that he kind of going back to what I said about the Mets, how I wasn't going to go with, you know, Acuna or Drew Gilbert, et cetera, because they came over at the deadline. Well, same thing here with Thomas Sajazy, who had a, you know, phenomenal year, 34 doubles, 26 home runs, 12 steals, slash 306, 374, 530. So in general, like if he was here the whole year, I think he'd be a pretty solid choice and probably the choice. But yeah, Victor Scott, just the way he can impact with his legs alone, like this is an easy 50 steal guy if he gets a chance to, you know, run that much and plays enough to capitalize on all that speed. And yeah, even if he's, again, like you mentioned, Chris, he could be a Ruiz type who's kind of like a cheat code, you know, especially like if you play, I still have one head-to-head league. He's been a cheat code. Like, hey, this week I need more speed. Plug him in the lineup. This week I don't need speed. All right, he's on the bench. And I put in, you know, whoever else it was, like Chaz McCormick or whoever. So the fact that he can impact so much with his legs, and I don't think he's gonna be a zero with the bat. Yeah, is he gonna be a stud with the bat? Absolutely not. But if he just gives you anything with the bat, you'll take that with the speed he gives. And Mason Wynn, you know, another, you know, good choice here as well. That's probably who I think if we put a poll out, he'd probably be the one that would win this. Obviously the bigger name, but gotta go with Victor Scott the second here for St. Louis. And now we round things out with the Washington Nationals. And I was trying to go anybody but James Wood here. I mean, Brady House had a very good year as well. Only had 374 plate appearances. Obviously, Ledger Green had a lot of struggles. Hassel has fallen off a ton. There just wasn't really any just big performances in this org. Pitching side, Jake Bennett had a pretty good year, though. I'll give him a shout-out here. Jarlin Susanna walked everybody under the sun. Jackson Rutledge was okay. So I tried to find anybody but James Wood. But it's James Wood. You know, 26 home runs, 28 doubles, 18 steals, slash 262, 353, 520. You know, we know the upside is massive with James Wood. I mean, he's a massive human being, massive power, good athleticism as well. You can draw, you know, a walk, but the K rate, 31.5% this year, obviously. And that's something we always were concerned about, even when he wasn't striking out at a high clip. These bigger guys, bigger zones, longer levers, it tends to usually pop up here. And that's what happened this year with Wood, though he finished, you know, the second half of the year, made some adjustments, was encouraging to see, kind of picked up the pace over the last couple of months. So he's still, you know, easy top 10 prospect for me. So yeah, gotta go with James Wood here. Did you go Wood as well, I'm assuming?
I did. I took James Wood. I, like you said, I wanted to go elsewhere, but it just wasn't happening. There was certainly some others that were in consideration, but Wood's performance was the best. So how many did we match up on? Let's see.
I'm going through. So Lawler.
Yep.
AJ Smashover.
Yep.
Cubs, we differed. We both had Blake Dunn. Yep. Colorado, different. Michael Bush, same. Troy Johnston, same. Churio, same. We differed in New York and Philly. Brannigan, same. I mean, we kind of matched up with San Diego. I'll just say right. We didn't. So we went different there. Different in San Francisco, same. With St. Louis, same with Washington. So 9 of the 15 we did match up on.
And that is exactly what you predicted before. You said 9, I said 7. So it was that's pretty good. So that was a lot of fun. We'll do AL.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, we'll do the AL later this week. You know, got to round out the season here. It's really bittersweet, though, Chris, that the season, obviously, it's always nice to get into the off season because it's always a lot of fun content. You can kind of take a breather, but it's just kind of weird, like not, you know, going to check box scores at night or the next day for the West Coast games in the morning. It's weird, man. It really is weird. And not be watching games on MLB TV. It's weird. I don't know. I miss it already, but we'll be, just got to remember Arizona was 37 days away. The countdown is on. Get a few games out there and see everybody, you know, have some fun times at first pitch. And again, if you are on the fence about going out, I know it's, you know, you got to travel, especially for guys like, you know, me and Chris, who we got to go cross country, And, you know, there's obviously the financial element that goes into it. But if you can, if you're on the fence, just do it. Like, if you're able to time-wise and financially, it is a phenomenal event that Baseball HQ puts on. You know, big shout out to everybody there that makes a phenomenal event year in, year out. This will be my fifth, sixth year. I can't remember at this point going. So phenomenal event. Highly recommend going. But that will wrap up our show today. Thank you for all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you check out DynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com for more work from each of us throughout the offseason. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers, all so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.